preaching it. All right, let's hear the story of David and Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's a great story. It's a great story of courage. It's a great story of faith. It's a great story of believing in God and trusting in God, knowing who God is, and then living in that knowledge of God. David was a young man. Commentators say he might have been around 15 years of age. But he's already experienced with some weapons. He knows how to use that sling. And he's killed bear, he's killed lion in the protection of his sheep. And so David was a pretty astute, sound kind of guy. And he went to see what was going on with the Philistines. Now, the Philistines were a group of people that were very prevalent back in those days in the land of Canaan. They were great enemies of the Israelites, the Hebrews. The Philistines don't exist anymore. When Babylon came along and beat up everybody back in their day, the Philistines just got kind of absorbed into their culture and their style of living. So we don't know them anymore. We don't know their language anymore. We don't know anything about them other than whatever the scriptures or some historical person has found out. Nonetheless, fierce enemies of the Hebrews. They were aligned in battle array. Everybody was on the front. Everybody was in their position. And for 40 days, this giant named Goliath would come out and challenge the Israelite armies. And King Saul and all the armies of God were very concerned about this. They did not want to make a move against this giant. Now, this giant was over 9 feet tall. If you can imagine that, 9 feet tall, over 9 feet tall. He weighed approximately a little bit over 400 pounds. His coat of armor, mail, chain-link mail, weighed a little over 121 pounds. You can imagine that, carrying that around and fighting in a war. But then this guy was a giant. He was huge. He was enormous. He was gargantuan. And yet, David heard the challenge by Goliath. Send out one man. If he defeats me, then we will serve you. That if I defeat him, you will serve me. And the army of Israel, they were afraid. They did not want to do that. So Saul was sitting there, I suppose, in his tent, meandering or thinking through these kinds of things. And when David shows up and says, hey, listen, you know what? That giant guy out there, he is defying the armies of the living God. He says, don't worry, I will go out there and take care of that giant for you. And Saul says, well, here, you don't have any armor on. Put my armor on. And David, being a young man, he says, you know, I've not tested this armor. I can't go out there like this. And so he took Saul's armor off. And then he goes out and he picks up how many stones? 5 stones. That's right. He picks up 5 stones. And he goes to make battle with that giant. Now, once again, the giant had all kinds of things to say about David. And David kind of threw that back in his face. And then the next thing you know, that rock from that sling went forth, hit Goliath where? In the nose. In the ear. In the forehead, right? Okay, so in the forehead. And the giant fell over dead. Now, David didn't have a sword, so he went and drew Goliath's sword and chopped off his head. And he took the giant's head back with him. He took his sword, Goliath's sword, and put it in the tent, his tent. So that's the setting of our story this morning. And I want to ask, really, one of the thoughts that I've got this morning is, how do we do that? How do we accomplish the slaying of giants in our life? You know, the devil's all about us. He wants to destroy us. And we even give him some help every now and then in order to do that. So we've got to be very careful of that. We're very concerned about that. We don't want to sin. We don't want to do things that are displeasing to God. For we know the outcome of that if we don't get that corrected. And then there are people that we have to deal with that challenge our spiritual or Christian values. And so there are a number of giants that we have to face in our lifetime. The thing is, we want to make sure that we come out victorious just as David came out victorious. So I want to tell you, there are three things that David did that we might be able to use in our lives as well. Number one, David had a great profession. He stated his belief in God. Number two, David was prepared. He picked up those stones, after all. And that gave him the armor, the bullets, the ammunition to destroy the giant. And then number three, you can see by the same token that David was prepared to persevere. And that's kind of sort of our thing in life as well. We need to confess God. We need to be prepared for heaven and the things of this world. And we also then need to persevere in our fight against evil. So let's begin this morning and take a look at our first one, profession. 1 Samuel 17, please. Let's begin reading in 41. 1 Samuel 17, 41. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy with a handsome appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all his assembly, this assembly, may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." You know, so David made this profession. He was not ashamed. He was not afraid to believe in God. He put his very life on the line for God. And as he makes this profession, you can see David's spiritual point of view. You can see where he comes from. You can see his focus. Whatever life is all about, David is going to follow God. David does whatever God wanted him to do. And that's exactly what he was going to do. So he came out to face the giant. And he made these words to the giant. "Oh, listen, God does not work by sword or by javelin or by spear. The battle belongs to the Lord." Now, how much faith is that? How much trust is that in a young man, 15 years of age, who has been a shepherd apparently all of his life? And yet he had such tremendous trust in God. Don't you think you want to have that kind of trust in God? Well, it can be developed. The more you read about God, the more you read about Jesus, the more you see about the Holy Spirit in the pages of the Old Testament and the New Testament, the more trust you will build. And the more trust you have, you too can go up to your spiritual giant and you can say, "The God of heaven will deliver you into my hands." You know, we make a number of confessions, though, in the Bible. If you take a look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, here's a confession. 1 John chapter 1, what? The what? The mic is what? Off? What was going on? What was happening? Oh, static. All right. I was having a good time there. All right. So, we make a confession to God in this sense. If we confess our sins,
He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, don't you think that's pretty scary? You know, you can say to your very best friend, I mean your best friend of best friends, you can go up to your best friend and you might say, you know, I have a problem with lust, or I have a problem with greed, or I have a, really in a sense a problem with idolatry, and even in our day and age. I mean, you might share those kinds of things with your best friend, but would you share those kinds of things with God Almighty, with Jesus, who's going to judge our soul one day when we get up there on that great day of judgment? And are we going to put our lives, are we going to put our very existence in Jesus' hands? Or are we going to have the disgrace of having to explain that to Jesus? You know, that's pretty difficult. I think it might be difficult. Although, on the other hand, we could also be very humble. God knows all about our sins anyway. He knows them as we think of them. He knows them before we actually commit them. God knows us. He knows our hearts. So we come to God and we make the confession. O Lord, my God, I have sinned against you. I have lusted. I have stolen. I have cursed. Whatever the sin might be, we make that confession. And we ask our God to please, please forgive me of our sin, of my sin. For I do not want to be separated from you. I want to be able to be in heaven with you forever and ever and ever, time without end. And so that's one confession that we make. Here's a second confession that we make, and that is we make the great confession about Jesus, please. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. Here's what Scripture has to say. Here's what Paul the Apostle said. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, here's this incredible statement, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Now, I'd like to take a look at verse 9 just a little bit more than what we might usually do. First of all, we come across that word confess, and that is we make a statement of our belief. So before baptism, we are required to make a public confession of our belief in Jesus Christ. But notice now what this particular verse says. Jesus as Lord. Now, that's going to be rather difficult for you unless you are willing to give up your heart, your mind, your physical attributes, whatever things that you possess. If you're willing to give those things up, then the Lord Jesus really will be your Lord. But if you're not willing from your heart to make that confession, that profession, then you are not ready to be baptized for the remission of sins. Something to think about. That's a very important sort of thing. And so some people are afraid to admit that they believe that Jesus is Lord, or they don't live as Jesus is Lord. They won't confess it publicly. They won't go out into the streets and share the gospel with anybody. That's a spiritual giant. We are very much afraid of rejection. We're very much afraid of somebody beating us down with words or perhaps even physically. We're so concerned about our embarrassment that we won't talk about Jesus any place except in Bible class and in the worship service. And so we've got to make that confession, though, if we expect to go to heaven. This is what God says. These words are from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's words are from God Almighty. And so our profession, our confession, must be one of belief in God. Well, you know, Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to believe, it is impossible to please him. And those who come to him must believe that he is and is a rewarder of those who seek him. So here's the deal. Are you seeking God? Are you looking for God? Well, you say, I've already been baptized.
No. You've got to continue to look for God. That never ends. You need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We all need to do that. And the only way to do that is to keep our noses, our eyes, in the Bible. We need to attend every Bible class. We have two. One on Sunday morning and one on Wednesday evening. The ladies have a Bible class once a month. We need to probably have even more Bible classes. You need to have people over to your house and just discuss the Bible. That's how you learn. That's how you grow. That's how you experience. And you learn from the thoughts of others. And you say, yes, well, you know, that is a great idea. And that is something that I need to do in my life as well. My heart needs to express those very things that my brother has already expressed. All right, so we make that confession as well. If you do this, if you're able to put your entire life in God's hands, then you will be saved. But we read on down through there. Take a look at verse 13. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, how do you do that? Well, calling on the name of the Lord means that you trust His superior ability to do everything that He says that He would do, fulfill every promise, so that all of us, might indeed go to heaven. And then it goes on 14. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? So we need to be able to go out and make the good confession in public. Not only up here, just before you're baptized, but out there in the world. You need to express your life as Jesus is your life. One more thing. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26. We partook of the Lord's Supper this morning. We had unleavened bread, and we had fruit of the vine, that is grape juice. So as we partook of those emblems, where were our thoughts? What were we thinking? What were we doing? What were we giving? What were we sharing with Jesus Christ? You understand that Jesus said, I will never more drink this fruit of the vine with you until I drink it new with you in the kingdom of God. Well, let me ask you, does the kingdom of God already exist? The answer is yes. And so thereby, the Lord, in His position as Lord of the universe, is sharing with us even now as we partake of the Lord's Supper. But that's not all. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you make a profession. What do you mean? You make a proclamation that as the Lord's death, let me read that again. You proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And so anybody that comes into this service, any unbeliever that comes into our services and fills these pews, fills these seats, when they see you partake of the Lord's Supper, share the Lord's Supper with one another and with Jesus Christ, you are making a statement. You are saying, regardless of what goes on in the world, Jesus is my Christ. He is my Lord. Whatever people might say to me, Jesus is my Lord. Whatever life throws at me, we must be able to say, Jesus is my Lord. And we make that statement every Lord's Day so that visitors who come in, unbelievers that might come in, are going to see and understand this is a Jesus-believing church. These people are someone who believes in Christ. And so that's a proclamation that we give every Lord's Day. All right, so the profession of faith is extremely important. Wouldn't you agree? And the second thing that we want to talk about is preparation. Now, we just want to look at one verse because the story is very long. So let's go back to 1 Samuel 17, please.
1 Samuel 17, and let's look at verse 40 this time. Chapter 17 and verse 40. He took his stick in his hand. Now, I would have to, you know, just like, he took his stick in his hand to face a giant. A stick. I don't know how big of a stick was. 4 foot maybe? 2 foot? I don't know. I don't have any idea. But what is he going to do with the stick? But nonetheless, he takes the stick and chose for himself. Chose. You notice that? He chose for himself. I like this stone. Don't like that stone. I like this stone. I don't like that stone. He chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Now, David was prepared to do battle. He was going to rely upon God for the outcome, and even if the giant killed him, he was still going to go out and make that fight. David was prepared to face his giant. We need to be prepared to face our giant as well. I would turn you to Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, wherein Paul the Apostle has this to say. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. I've got to wonder, when David threw that rock, can I say slung? Is that a word? Slung that rock. When David slung that rock, did he absolutely know that rock was going to hit Goliath in the head? Did he know that? Oh, I'm sure he was expert. I'm sure he could do that. I'm sure he could take that sling and do that. But is that something that he knew he could do? Or did he depend on the Lord to deliver that stone in a spot where Goliath would be killed? What do you think? It's an interesting question. And I kind of sort of think perhaps both. Because David was an expert in his marksmanship with that sling. But on the other hand, he was indeed relying upon God. He was prepared to face his giant. So here we are in Ephesians 6 and verse 10. We need to be strong. The battle belongs to the Lord, not to my action, not to my thought, but the battle belongs to the Lord. You go out and you want to confess Jesus to public? You go out there on the streets and you make some sort of proclamation? You don't know how that's going to turn out because we can't tell the future. However, we depend upon God for the outcome. And that's what we're all about. And so we depend on the Lord's strength and in his might. And then Paul goes on to say, put on the full armor of God. Now, David had put on Saul's armor, and it didn't fit him too good, and so he took it off. He wasn't happy with it. And so, but God says that we are to put on the full armor of God in our lives, that you will be able, now you're telling me something. You're telling me that I can be strong. You're telling me that I can be able to dispel or do away with the schemes of the devil. He goes on to say, in verse 14, stand firm, therefore, having girded your waist or loins with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the fiery darts, all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, there have been many, many, many sermons about this passage, and no doubt that you've sat in on some of those sermons, and you've heard this preached time and time again. But the reality is this, if you don't have truth, there's no point in you going out there and proclaiming Jesus. You don't know what you're talking about. If you're not righteous, then once again, there's no need of your profession because you really don't believe enough to change your life. The preparation of feet with the preparation of the gospel?
You've got to be able to say to those out there who ask you to give a defense for the reason that you believe that Jesus is the Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15.
All right, so we go on there and we understand that taking up the shield of faith. Once again, where do we get that faith? We get that faith from understanding God's word. And then secondly, if we can do that, in the last, we take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. We are fully clothed to deal with our giants, our spiritual giants. Time is running out on me. I'm going to go ahead and do this right here. Number three, we're going to make sure that we are going to persevere in the face of all of our obstacles in life. Let me turn over to Romans, please. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And beginning in verse 3. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. Not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. Now, David underwent a tribulation. He was faced with facing that giant. And so what was he going to do? Was he excited about facing this giant? Well, he certainly showed courage. He certainly showed character. But he got something out of facing the giant. And that is that God is true to his word. So whatever tribulations we have, tribulation brings about what? Perseverance. How deeply do you want to go to heaven? How strong is that desire that you want to go to heaven, regardless of whatever else is going on in the world? I make that commitment to God. I want to be with you forever and ever and ever. That's my commitment. And so that's what I'm doing. I am persevering through the fact that we end up with diseases. We end up with chronic diseases. We end up with acute diseases. We ended up with all kinds of diseases, both physical, mental, and spiritual. And we face all of those things down. And we beat those things down by trusting, praying to our God that we are going to persevere in the face of our giant. David was prepared. David persevered. How do I know that? Still, 1 Samuel 17 and verse 40. Because he picked up 5 stones. Not just one, but 5. I don't know if the first one's going to make it. But I am indeed going to have 4 more in my pouch so that I can continue to fight this giant. You see, David didn't just believe in the one stone. He believed in all 5 stones. And that's what he took to face the giant. And so what is it that we need to persevere? We need to take our 5 stones to face our spiritual giants as well. Well, I hope this sermon has been useful to you this morning.